Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Eruvin Daf Mem Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 20 lines from the top of Daf Mem Tes. You'll notice, more or less in the middle of the daf, a double underlined Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. The double underlined is featured on the side under our Mivneh heading, the structural note, that explains that these double underlines are Shnei Memros. There are two comments, Shel Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, which describe Matzavim, situations, She'ein Eruvo Eruv, where the Eruv that he prepares will not be an acceptable or functional Eruv. Now, under our Nosei, our topic heading, we've listed number one, Hamakpid al Eruvo. An Eruv is food that one contributes with the other members of a courtyard. Several houses open into a courtyard, so to enable them to carry from their houses to the courtyard and vice versa, the different homeowners contribute an amount of food and it's put together, and that constitutes their uniting their courtyard. If one of the members who contributed the food is makpid al eruv, meaning he doesn't want others to eat from that food, so that will ruin the eruv. The eruv will not be effective because of his state of mind, if he's not wanting others to eat from it. So the second point that we'll see is hacholek es ho eruv, where the eruv is divided into two separate vessels. Once again, the concept of an eruv is, as we mentioned, is heora hamilo eruv, is to one an expression of mu'ravin, and to areva, pleasant. This is a point that you see in the Rashi, dibor hamaslu eruv shmo. Now the Gemara, Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, hamakpid al eruvo, one of the contributors who is concerned or would not be satisfied, would be upset if others, someone else, eats from the food he contributed, then ein eruva eruv, then the eruv is ineffective. Mashmo, what is the name of this entity? Eruv shmo. By virtue of its name, you can see that it's important that there's this unification where after you contribute the food, it's put into a common pot, so to speak, and anyone can eat from it. So if you are upset with one of the other members eating from your contribution, so you are not enabling the Eruv to reach what its name represents. Rav Hanina, Omar Eruva Eruv, the fact that you have this negative state of mind does not prevent it from being effective. Ela Shenikra Me'anshe Vardina, the person who is upset, who is dissatisfied with others eating from his contribution, is called this term. Apparently, a Vardina was a place where people from that community were miserly in nature, and hence he is termed to be that, a Vardinian. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel, hacholek es eruvo, eino eruv. When an eruv is gathered, is collected, but it's placed in two separate vessels, it's not an effective eruv. And Rashi points out, for the very same reason that we just said, because of the name by which this entity is called. So that if it's split, so it's not mu'uravin, it's not, there's lacking of unity and togetherness. The Gemara asks, this din, keman, kebeis shamai, is this in accordance with beis shamai? And naturally, if something works out or turns out to be like beis shamai, that would be undesirable in terms of halacha, because halacha, generally speaking, does not follow the opinion of Beis Shammai. So it would be very odd for Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel to issue a ruling conforming only to Beis Shammai. So what leads the Gemara to think that this is in accordance with Beis Shammai? Tesanya, we have a Tanaic source in which we see Beis Shammai featured. Chamisha shegavu es eruvan v'nasnu b'shnei kelim. A collection, govu is to collect the food for making an eruv. So we're five homeowners in a particular courtyard. They gathered their eruv and they put it in two vessels. Beis Shammai umrim ein eruv. It's ein ze eruv, ubeis Hillel omrim harei ze eruv. So the eruv being split between two vessels is ineffective only according to Beis Shammai. And that's what Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel seems to be saying. Could that be? The Gemara says, no, afilu temo beis Hillel. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel can be in conformity to Beis Hillel as well. Ad kan lo koamri beis Hillel hosam, the teaching of Beis Hillel there that it is a good eruv, even though it's in two vessels, ela demalion lemonav aiser. That's a case where the amount of food that was collected would be too much for one vessel. So, and he Beis Hillel will allow filling up one vessel and bringing another vessel to contain the balance. Apparently, according to Beis Shammai, you would have to bring initially a large vessel to hold all the food together. Beis Hillel says you don't have to have a large vessel to hold all the food together, even if one vessel is not capable of holding all of the food, but as long as you fill it to the top and you have the balances placed in a second vessel, that's okay. Avol hecha de palge miflag, but where you initially split the food into two separate receptacles, where one receptacle would have been enough, lo, even Beis Hillel will tell you that it's not a good eruv. Now we just had two halachas of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. The Gemara asks, "V'tarti lomali, what do I need both of these teachings? The teaching of makbid al eruvel and cholek es eruvel, when the theme behind both of them is more or less the same, the idea of togetherness. So wouldn't it be enough to teach me one of these halachas and I could figure out the other one?" The Gemara answers, no. Tzrichi, I need both of these teachings. The Ashmeinen, awesome. If I would have told you the first one, the case of Makbid al Eruvah Mishum de Kopid, the problem there is because of this mindset that he resists others, he doesn't want others to eat from it. Aval hocha, emolo, but where the Eruv is split into two vessels, there's no resistance. Maybe it would be okay, even though you put the eruv initially into two separate vessels. V'i ashmin hocha, and if I would have taught you only the case of Rav Yehuda Shmuel, mishum de palge miflag, because you initially split it into two, which is against the name. The name is together. Eruv means mixed together, and you did the opposite. Avol hosam, but there in the case of the negative mindset, emolo, I would have thought maybe that is not a problem. Therefore, I have to tell you that that too is also a problem. Omale Rabbi Abba the Rav Yehuda Bevei Matzarta Debei Rav Zakai. Rabbi Abba addresses Rav Yehuda in this place. The Bevei Matzarta is a press of Rabbi Zakai. Mi Omar Shmuel. In other words, they just get this straight here that Rabbi Abba was speaking to Rav Yehuda in that place. The Bevei Matzarta Debei Rabbi Zakai. Mi Omar Shmuel, would Shmuel have said, Hacholik es eruvo eino eruv? And we saw that just before. We have the arrow to the side of the Gemara text. You can align it with the arrow before. That's where Shmuel said his din above. Would he have said that if you split the eruv into two vessels, it's not a good eruv, Omar Shmuel? Shmuel said the following, Bayis shemanichen bo eruv eino tzorich litein es hapas. After the food is collected from the different homeowners in the courtyard, so the food is placed in one of the houses. And this teaching of Shmuel is that the house in which the Eruv is placed, so he doesn't have to contribute to that, we'll call it collection bowl, he doesn't have to contribute his food. My time, why doesn't he have to contribute his food to that, to the collection? Lav mishum de Omar, is it not because we say, the kevon de monach besalo, keman de monach hochodomi? Because it's in that house, he has his own bread box, so to speak, where the bread is located, and we say that since it's in the same house, it's as if it's in this vessel of the food collection from the other homeowners. So what do we see? Well, we see over there that it's a good Eruv Hochinami, Kiva the Monach Besalo Kemande Monach Hochodomi. So why not say the same thing, that once it's once the food has been collected, oh, even though it's in a different basket, the sal is a basket, it's as if it's located over here together with the other food. Very simply put, from Shmuel's din over there of the Bayis Shenichabo Eruv, we see that in an Eruv can be in two separate receptacles. Omar Lei, so Rav Yehuda says back to Rabbi Abba, Hosam, there in the case of the house, the issue of Bayis Shenichabo Eruv, Afal Pi She'ein Pas, even if there is no bread in that house, the house in which the Eruv that had been collected is placed, my taima, why is that okay, even if he doesn't contribute any food whatsoever? The kulu hocha dairi, because they are all dwelling here. In other words, the point of the Eruv is to create a situation where the other dwellers are considered all together over here. So that's something in your mind's eye. With regard to the house in which the Eruv is placed, he actually lives here. So he's literally together with them. That's why he doesn't have to even contribute any food whatsoever. So the acceptance of the Eruv there is not a function of the Eruv being in two separate vessels. As far as the food that's collected, it has to be in one vessel. As far as the house in which the Eruv is placed, he's a good neighbor, so to speak. He's reasonable in this area because he is the ultimate fulfillment of being together, because he actually lives over here. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a new marking, a bow tie shape, and on the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we have explained this highlights a Machlokes Shmuel V'Rabba, E Eruv Mishum Kinyan, O Mishum Dira. This is a sort of a halachic analysis of what is the basis of Eruv. Does an Eruv represent a form of Kinyan, of acquisition, where the properties are said to be acquired by all of them together, making it a single entity, hence allowing the carrying from the houses to the courtyard? Or is Eruv a function of dira, a common dwelling? As far as the terms, it's a bit abstract, and they take on more significance when you continue in the Gemara and see their application. The Rashi that we'll take a look at beforehand is about halfway down the wide lines under the Gemara text. Rashi says, Eruv, Shehu Mitzarfon, the Eruv that gathers the people together, Taimo Mishum Kinyon, is it a function of Kinyon, She Makne Luhu Bal Habayis Rishuso, V'nimtzu'u Kulam Bailim Babayis Zeh, is it that any given homeowner is said to transact his house to the other people, so that everyone becomes an owner in any given house, so they're all owners of all the houses together. She'eruv, let's read that, let's continue again. He says, V'nimsu kulam b'aylim b'bayezeh she'eruv munachbo, v'chol chotzer mishubedes l'rishusam zu, v'achasi, when we say the Eruv is placed in a particular house, so do we say that that house becomes owned by all of them through the concept of Kinyan? So let's go now back to the Gemara. Omar Shmuel Eruv Mishum Kinyan is, Shmuel says the Eruv functions as a Kinyan. V'im toimar mipnei ma ein koinin v'mo'o. If that's the case, so why isn't the transaction accomplished through money? Ma is a coin. Why is the method of creating the transaction through food? As Rashi says, "Umipnei ma ein ma'arvin b'mona b'ma'a liten kol echad ve'echad ma'a umo osov yiknu lo rishus chavero." So each one would contribute a coin, and the coin would acquire for them the domain of his friend. Why not say that? So the answer to that is they she'eno mitzuya ba'arve shabosus, because the time that people make eruvim is on Friday, and on Friday people don't have coins available. Apparently, people spent their cash on Shabbos needs, and hence at that time coins aren't available. The Gemara asks, "Hecho di'irev mihu likni?" If they actually did use a coin, so should that acquire? Would it work? The Gemara says, "No, we won't let it work." Gzeira shemo yomru ma ikur v'zimnin delo shchiach ma v'lo osi l'ruvei v'pas the osi eruv l'kukuleit. If we allow money to be used on some occasion, people will come to think that money is the main way of making an eruv, or the only way of making an eruv, and sometimes the coins are not available. That's what the Gemara meant when it said v'zim delo shchiach mona. There are times that it's not common to have coins, and they won't come to make an eruv with bread, thinking that the coin is the only way to make the eruv, and the osi eruv l'kukuli, and that will cause a ruination in eruv. Rashi says l'kukuli l'shtakech Torah says people will forget that an eruv can be made some other way. So by avoiding at all times the use of the coin, even though theoretically it would be an effective means of acquiring one's neighbor's property, nevertheless, don't start using coins whatsoever. Rabo Omar, Eruv Mishum Dira. Rashi says, Mishum Dira, Shedaito Shel Odom Al Pito, when bread is placed in a particular house, so his mind, a person's mind, is on his food. V'hava Lahu Ki'ilu Dairi Bahu Beisa. It's as if, therefore, that the person who contributed the food, when the eruv is placed in a particular house, it's as if he is living there, because his mind follows his food. V'ein b'chotzer zu elo dira achas. And with that being the case, well, so when each person contributes his food and all the food is placed in one house, it's as if they're all living in one house. V'arei kol rishus ha'chotzer miuchedes l'bayezen, making the rest of the courtyard bound to this house. It's almost as if saying that the other houses then become irrelevant. And the whole theme of Eruv is to create unity, single ownership, so that the courtyard isn't viewed as an area of multiple ownerships, giving the impression that it's like a Reshus HaRabim, which of course is the whole reason for imposing this rabbinic we'll call it restriction of not carrying from houses into courtyards in the absence of an Eruv. But once you have a unified ownership, so it becomes like a single domain, single ownership, a totally private domain, and people will then not confuse it with a Reshus HaRabim. So Rabba in our Gemara says, Omar Eruv Mishum Dira, underlying function or basis of Eruv is because of this concept of dwelling. My binayhu, what's the point of difference? Or what would be a practical difference? Iko binayhu, kli upochos mishava pruta. He has a few examples of where a difference will arise. And on the top of Amid Beis, vit koton. So let's go over these cases. If we look in the Rashi, he spells it all out. So let's learn it together. Hochi gar simon iko binayu kli v'shein bo yishov epruta v'koton. L'mandom mishum kinyan, according to Shmuel, who said that the Eruv works as a kinyan, where there's acquisition, that it is said that you are acquiring the property in which the Eruv is placed, yichoylim liknois besudur kederech sha'ar kinyan. A sudur is a cloth, and that's the case of kli. We mentioned the point of difference will be the use of a kli. So if you hold that Eruv is Mishum Kinyan, you would be able to use a cloth whereby the person who is acquiring the property will take a piece of cloth from the person who is acquiring. In other words, if you are the buyer, so you will allow the seller, so to speak, to take from you a piece of cloth, and by the seller's taking the cloth, he thereby transfers ownership to you. V'ein, number two, v'ein yicholim liknos bepas she'ein bo shove pruto v'afilu avya mozon shtei sudos. You won't be able to use bread, even if it's a large amount of bread, because bread is very cheap, let us say, so it's not worth even a shavaputa. Shavaputa being the smallest unit of coinage, So if something is lacking, the shofar pruta, so if you hold that if it's mishum kinyan, so then you won't be able to use it, bread that is so cheap. V'ein yochol lasus hakoton shaliach la'arev alav, and you won't be able to use a miner to make the eruv. La'arev alav eruv echatzeres delav bar makniv aknu yehu. A koton is a miner; he is not capable of making, capable meaning on legally binding transactions. In order to make a transaction, there has to be a certain level of das, of wisdom, of awareness. And a koton, a miner, lacks that. So, with these three examples in mind, we appreciate what the significance of holding Eruv Mishum Kinyan is. Ulamad Omar Mishum Dira, if you hold that Eruv is a function of Dira, of everyone said to be dwelling where the food is located, so Lo Mahani Kinyan Sudar, the vessel idea using the cloth, will not be effective, because Dira states that a person's mind follows his food, and this isn't food. And number two, Arvin Ba'ochel She'ein Bo Shavet Pruta, food is food, even if it's very cheap, but once you place the food, and that's the case of the pas that we mentioned in our list of differences, and more accurate, that's the case of the Pochos Mishavet Pruta, which would be a point of difference, where the bread is worth less than a shavar pruta, it nevertheless is an effective eruv. And the koton goiva eso eruv, the koton, the child, the minor, can collect the food, the pas mashvilu chadadira, it's the bread that makes the unification. It's not it's not a transaction per se, it's the physical bread that is of interest here. The cotton, lav me the oven, the cotton, the miner isn't doing something of a legal nature, he's going through a physical action of collecting bread. And a cotton is suitable for doing that, and therefore the eruv would be good if you hold mishum dira. We continue with the Gemara at the top of Amud Beis. Omar le Abaye le Rabba. Lididcho kashya uleshmuel kashya. According to you, and we should point out that this section more lasts is a long question. So according to you, Rabba, that said mishum dira, a problem will arise uleshmuel kashya. And according to Shmuel's explanation that eruv mishum kinyan kashya, there is a difficulty. What is the difficulty? Ha Tanya, we have the following source. It says Hamisha Shegavu es Eruvon, five that collected an Eruv to unify their domains. Kishehem Molichin es Eruvon Lemokom Acher, Echod Molich Likulon. When the Eruv is brought to another courtyard, where two courtyards want to join together, so after courtyard number one creates their own internal eruv through collecting from the five different dwellings, so one can bring the food for all of them, on behalf of all of them. We should point out that Rabba and Shmuel had a machlokes regarding a koton, a minor, but if a godol would have collected the eruv, according to everyone, the eruv would have been good through a shaliach. So the Gemara points out, hu nihu dekokoni v'sulo, hu nihu dekodayer v'sulo. Now, using the explanations of Rabba and of Shmuel, how does this source make sense? Or how does this source describe something that is effective? If you say Eruv is Mishum Kinyan, so only one is making the Kinyan. Only one. We said that Echod Moiluch Al Yidei Kulon, which is another Girsa, that one carries the food collection to the other chotzer, to the other courtyard, joining the two together for all of them. But if you say Eruv is Mishum Kinyan, that means a transaction is made. You have only one person making the transaction. How can he, how can his transaction be effective in unifying all the rest of the members of the first chotzer with this second chotzer? And likewise, if you say Eruv is Mishum Dira, if one person is bringing the food to the second courtyard, so only he is dwelling there and not the rest of them. Omar Le, Rabbo answers, Lo Levidi Kasha Velo Lishmuel Kasha. There is no difficulty from this source on my explanation, nor on Shmuel's explanation. Shlichus de Kul'u Ko Ovid. All this source, this Tanaic source is describing, is agency. Namely, the person carrying the Eruv from the first Chotzer to the second Chotzer is working as an agent for the rest of them. And there's a concept of shlucho shel odom kamoso, so he effectively represents each of them. And therefore, the one action of bringing the Eruv to the second chutzner is tantamount to each one making a kinyan, or each one of them said to be dwelling in the second chutzner. Omar Rabo, Omar Rav Chama Bar Guria, Omar Rav, Halocha Kerebi Shimon. The ruling here is based on Gemaras that we learned before today's shiur. Rashi says, "Rabbi Shimon, dehi muter simon vehein muter nima." That's a reference to the three chatzeros that are lined up one next to the other. So, according to Rabbi Shimon, or we have the, what's more accurately, we have the case of the three people that were on the road. And we saw that if the middle person, we saw the middle person having, let's say, two amos of his two amos overlapped with two amos to, with regarding with the person to his left, and two amos overlapping with the person to his right, the middle person can carry into the overlapping area of each guy, each person to his right and to his left, and likewise they can carry into the area overlapping with the middle fellow. This point was a point of controversy between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan, and here he is ruling, Rav Chama is ruling like Rabbi Shimon, who is lenient, as Rashi said, he Muteris imo and vehein mutorin imo. Let us repeat this point, but more accurately. The ruling here of Rabba Omar Rav Chama Bar Guya Omar Rav Halacha Rabbi Shimon is a ruling like Rabbi Shimon, as opposed to those that argue with him in the case of the three courtyards that are one next to the other. Rabbi Shimon is lenient, opposed to the opposing opinion. He says that if the two outer courtyards made an Eruv with the middle courtyard can carry back and forth to the two courtyards on either side, and the extreme courtyards can carry into the middle courtyard. The Rabbanon had argued with that, yet he rules like Rabbi Shimon, allowing these courtyards to carry the outer ones to the middle one and the middle one to the outer ones. The Mishnah. Before we continue with the Mishnah itself, let's glance at the side under our no say, our topic heading, and we note Ad Nun Aleph Omed Aleph, so that we have a topic that will last quite a while. Here we're only on Mem Tes Omed Beis. The topic is as follows: Mishabal Baderech Umakir Ilon Ogoder. A person who is walking on the road, and he knows that in the distance, and we're talking, of course, on Friday, and Shabbos is approaching, and he knows that in the distance there is a tree or a fence. Verotzi Likbo Shvisoso Shoma. And he wants to establish his Shabbos location at that tree or fence. And we want to note, Meho Ilon Labayis Shalo Yesh Od Alpayim Amo. From the tree to his house, there is another 2,000 amos. So it will be of theoretically, it will be of benefit for this person to have his Shabbos location at the tree, if that be the case, so then he will be able to go to get home. If this doesn't take place right now, as Shabbos sets in, he is more than 2,000 amas from his house. He won't be allowed to walk to his house. So by establishing your Shabbos location at the tree, you will then have a chance of getting home. We would like also to turn our attention to a diagram in the Pirush Chai, page 94, diagram number 32. You can see a person on the road. We see a tree more or less in the foreground, and then in the background a city where his house is located. The Mishnah. Mi shebo baderech v'choshcho lo. One is on the road, and there's another girsa v'hoyo yorei shem otechshach. He's afraid that Shabbos is going to set upon him. V'hoyo makir ilon ogoder, and he knows of a tree or a fence 2,000 amas from where he is. And we pointed out from where he is to the tree, 2,000 amas, and from the tree to the house is another 2,000 amas. V'omar, and he says, Shvisosi tachtov. He says, I want my location to be under the tree. Lo omar klum. He hasn't said anything. It's ineffective. By saying you're under the tree, we say it's ineffective, as the Gemara will explain. However, if he says bi'ikoro, I want my shvisa to be at the trunk of the tree, more specific. So mahalish mimokum raglov viadi koro paim amo. He can then walk from where he is now till the trunk, 2,000 amos. So mi'ikoro viad beso paim amo, and then from the trunk to his house, which is another 2,000 amas, he'll be allowed to walk because he has located himself at a specific location, located again through his declaration. He's considered locating himself at the trunk. The result of this is that after Shabbos sets in, he'll be in effect walking 4,000 amos. There's a Rashi, Omar, Shvisosi Bikoro, Viodeahu, Shemikoro Vad Beso, and Yosum Alpayim, and he knows that from the trunk till his house there is not more than 2,000 amas. Konolo Shisa Bikoro, he acquires his Shabbos location as the trunk of the tree. Hoyo Vesimus Makoimo, since he defined his location, Vosu Shvisa, Konolo Alpayim Litzad Raglov, Vialpayim Litzad Beso. With his being located in your mind's eye at the trunk of the tree, he has thereby created that as the central point, and one is allowed to have 2,000 amos in all directions from his established point. The Mishnah continues, Im eino makir oishenu boki b'halocha, if he doesn't recognize or he isn't knowledgeable of halocha, v'yomar shvisosi b'mekoimi, and he says, I want my Shabbos location to be where I am. Zochalo mekomo alpayim amalocho ruach. He gains 2,000 amos all in all directions around where he is right now. There is an illustration of this in the Pirush Chai, illustration 33. And another point that we make in the Mishnah is agulos. These 2,000 amas in all directions are, when we say 2,000 amas, the 2,000 amas represents the radius of a circle. That's agulos, means circular. Divrei Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus. That's his opinion. And that's what you see illustrated in 33. The man is in the middle with a radius of 2,000 amas all around him, forming a circular area whose diameter would be 4,000 amas. V'chachomim oimrim, this is illustration 34, they say mrubos, kitavlo mrubas. The 2,000 amos around the person is 2,000 amos with him in the middle of a square. Tavlo mrubas would be a square plate. or square platter. Kidei shiye niskar lezovis, by creating a square, meaning from his position to the to his right, to his left, 2,000 amas forming a square, what he ends up creating is an entity or an area where he benefits from the corners. Namely, if from the point he is standing, if he's created a square with sides, the sides of the square, being that he's in the middle of it, the sides of the square would measure 4,000 amas each side. From where he is located till the corner of such a square would actually be more than 2,000 amos. Because from where he is to the side is 2,000 amos, the diagonal formed by drawing a line from where he is to the corner of a square, the diagonal is longer than the measure from where he is to the side. Vizu hi she'omru, this case of someone's bo baderech and he doesn't have with him any bread. Vizu hi she'omru he'oni ma'arev baraglov. The oni, as we've explained in a previous shiur when this was quoted, the oni is a person literally is impoverished, means he's impoverished from food. He's a traveler. He doesn't have food with him. Omar Rebbe Meir, Onu ein lanu elo oni. This concept of making an eruv baraglov, meaning by walking or through your feet or establishing a location based on where you are, that works only for an oni. Rabbi Huda Omer Echod Oni VeEchod Ashir. Rabbi Huda says that even a person who is at home, full of food, he, if he wants, he can leave his house sometime late Friday afternoon, walk 2,000 amos, and stay there till darkness sets back home, and his location would be at that point 2,000 amas from his house. And Rabbi Yudah says, Lo omru marvin bepasa lo hokel ala oshir shelo yetze v'yarev baraglov. The idea of ma'arvin bepas is only a leniency for someone who is dwelling at home, whereby he can send someone else out with the bread and set it down for the person in the house, establishing the homeowner's dweller over there where the bread is. So that through a shaliach, through a type of agent, an eruv can be accomplished with bread. But it's not to the exclusion of the person living at home to physically go out there by foot to establish that as his Shabbos location by remaining there till darkness sets in. We continue with the Gemara making a or asking about a comment made toward the beginning of the Mishnah. We have an arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can parallel this with the above arrow, and you'll see what we're asking about. In the Mishnah, we had learned that someone who was on the road and he knows that there's a tree 2,000 amas from where he is, 2,000 amas in the direction of his house. If he says, I want my dwelling to be under the tree, the Mishnah said, Lo Omar Klum. The Gemara asks, My Lo Omar Klum. What is meant by that? If we look in the Rashi, let's just go a little bit more ahead in the Gemara. Omar Rav, Lo Omar Klum, Kol Iker. Rav says that he has not said anything, which means that even from where he is located now, he cannot walk. He can't walk 2,000 amas. He's limited to the 4 amas around where he is located. The afilu letachto shel ilon lo motzi ozil. He will not be allowed to go even to the tree, which is a mere 2,000 amas away. And Rashi explains, the reason for this is that where he is right now, he indicated he doesn't want to be there. He said he wants to be under the tree. To be considered under the tree also, we say no, because he didn't say where under the tree. Even though, Rashi explains, even though the entire area under the tree, in other words, the far extent of the branches from where he is all within 2,000 amos, it's still ineffective because he didn't define which 4 amos under the tree he wants to be. So because of this lack of clarity, lack of specificity, he is not considered under the tree either. So he's not considered to be located where he's physically right now because of his interest of being under the tree, and he doesn't gain being located under the tree either because he wasn't specific. So as they say, he's not here nor there. Meaning, practically speaking, when Shabbos sets in, he will be allowed only 4 amos immediately that are immediately around him. And we read that in the Gemara when we say that lo omar klum kol ikur dafilu letachtov shel ilon lo motzi ozil. Ushmuel omar lo omar klum means lebeso. He cannot get home. Avol letachtov shel ilon motzi ozil. But as far as reaching the bottom of the tree, that we will allow him. We'll allow him to be under the tree. After all, even the far extent of the branches is within 2,000 amos of where he is right now. Under the tree is considered chamor gomo. But now we have to explain this a bit further. Before we go into the Gemara itself, let's take advantage of a diagram that we see in the Pirush Chai, diagram 36. This diagram illustrates that which we will see in the Rashi, and the caption reads: Rashi Duma Masul Ushmul Amar Gagon Dekoy Kol Nofushul Ilam Besochal Payim Lamokam Raglov. If you look at the measurements, from where he is standing, you will see 2,000 amos in the direction of the tree will include the entire tree, even the branches far from the furthest branches from where he is standing. They're all within 2,000 amos. However, from the tree till the house, you will find 2,000 amos only if you measure from the far edge of the branches. You can see in the diagram, if you notice where the word sofoin is, under the tree, from that far end of the branches till the house, that will enable him to get home. That will include the whole house. However, from the southern end of the tree, where you see Dorom, you'll notice that he is lacking, there won't be 2,000 amos from the southern end of the branches. It'll be more than 2,000 amos till his house. So that's the case the Mishnah is dealing with. That lo omar klum, as the Gemara says, Shmuel says lo omar, Shmuel omar lo omar klum means lebeisoi. By saying I want to be under the tree without specifying where under the tree, so he hasn't said anything to enable him to get to the house, as we explained the circumstances, as you can see in illustration 36. Avo letachtov shel ilon motzi ozil, as he said, we're rereading the Gemara, but to get to the bottom of the tree, he can get there, because the entire bottom of the tree is within his 2,000 amos. And v'nas letachtov shel chamor gomol, what does that mean, chamor gomol? Chamor gomol is an expression we've seen in previous Gemaras. It's an expression which means, we call it the push-pull idea. And the application of chamor gomel over here means bo limdoid min hatsafoin. If he were to measure from the northern end of the tree, if he would want to measure from the northern edge of the tree, moididim lo min hadarm will say, no, sorry, you said you want to be under the tree, but your intention is to be under the southern end of the tree. As far as actual measuring. He wants to measure from the northern edge of the tree, but he didn't say that's where he wants to be. All he said, he wants to be under the tree, but he didn't say where specifically. So if he attempts to measure from the northern edge of the tree in order to get home, we'll say, sorry, we're going to measure your 2,000 amas from the southern end of the tree. If he tries to measure from the southern end of the tree because he wants to have the option of walking, let's say, 30 amos backwards to go back in the opposite direction, he has an interest in going 30 amos in that direction. The number 30, we're using based on the illustration in the Pirush Chai. So in such a case, Moedidin lo minatzofen. We'll say you can't walk backwards either, because we will say we're going to measure from the north. In other words, he will end up losing out getting to his house because of his lack of specificity in saying, I want to be under the tree, but he didn't say where, so he won't be allowed to get to the house, nor will he be allowed to retrace his steps, diameter of the tree creates, and you can see in the illustration it was 30 amos. We will then tell him you can't retrace 30 amos either. That's what's called chamar gomel. You want to go this way, we'll say you're going that way. If you want to go that way, we'll say no, you're going to be going this way. We continue at the top of Daf Nun Omer Aleph. Omar Rabo, my taimo the Rav. Why does Rav hold what he does? Rav says he can't move at all from where he is. He can't go 2,000 amas to the tree, and he can't walk even 4 amas in the direction beyond 4 amas in the direction of the tree, nor can he walk 2,000 amas the other way either. Why is that? Mishum delo misayim asrei. He didn't specify his location. All he said, he wants to be under the tree, but he didn't say where under the tree. The Iko diamri omar rabo, my time of the Rav. Another version as to what the explanation for Rav is. And here we have a halachic concept is introduced. Mishum de Kosova, because Rav is of the opinion, dechol she'eno boze achar ze afilu bebas achas einoi. Let's look at the Rashi. Kol she'eno boze achar ze afilu bebas achas einoi. The kevon deim siem is to specify dalid sfonios. If he had specified that he wants to be under the 4 northern amos of the tree, Eino yochol lachzer bo livror dalid dromios lios lo shviso kan vikan. He can't then choose the 4 southern amos of the tree. Once you've decided you want to be under the 4 northern amos of the tree, you can't change your mind and say, I want to be under the 4 southern amos of the tree, expecting to establish as his location both the 4 northern and the 4 southern. Ki omar nami kulhu kechado, kigon hocho di omar shviso sitachtov, lo amrino liknu. So since you can't acquire one after the other, you can't acquire both at the same time either. And the idea of acquiring both was illustrated by his statement, I want to be under the tree, indicating he wants to be under all of the tree. So since you can't choose the 4 northern amos and then choose the 4 southern amos, that's kol sheino bozeh achar zeh, so afilu babas achas, I want to be under the entire tree, also doesn't take hold. My binayu, what would the point of difference be between these two forms of analysis? The first form of analysis was lack of specifying. He said, I want to be under the tree, under the whole tree. He didn't specify 4 amos. And the second approach was kol sheino bazachar zeh, afilu bazachas eino. So the Gemara says, Iko binayo, the point of difference, or a case where the difference will come out, is the Omar, where a person says, liknu li be'arba amos migoi shmoina. He says, I want to acquire 4 of the 8 amos. I want to acquire 4 out of 8 amos. Man, yomer mishum delo misayim asrei. The opinion that says that he doesn't get to be under the tree because he didn't specify. So, ha lo misayim asrei. He didn't specify 4 amos. He said 4 out of 8. Which 4? Didn't specify. According to that form of analysis, this case where he said, I want to acquire 4 out of 8 amos is considered legitimate. He mentioned 4 amos. So, since he mentioned 4 amos, when he said 4 out of 8, he wasn't trying to acquire 4 and then another 4. He said 4, only 4, and that is okay. The Rashi says, Arba minay migo tamni, ochinokat migo tamni, de lakamon mokminon bi ilon sheesh takt of shmoin amos. The reason that the number 8 was used in this example is because later on in the Gemara, a tree of 8 amos will be featured. So in anticipation of that which appears on Nun Amid Beis, a tree measuring 8 amos, the number 8 was used in this illustration. Just to remind you, if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at the email address of gmarkings@gmail.com. We are about to close the shiur, but just want to note that you can see we have a bracketed section, and this angular brackets will enclose a long piece of Gemara, which will take us to Amud Beis, the top line of Amud Beis. After the bracketed section, Abaye will be making a comment that refers back to that which Rav had said. Rav had said, by saying, I want to be under the tree, he has accomplished nothing, and he's therefore not here nor there. Abaye will qualify that, and we'll then see Rav Huna Breider of Shul also mentioning a word of qualification. All that on Nun Amud Beis. So, until Ritz Hashem next time, so with that, we conclude our shiur for today.